The disciples fell upon their face and were very much afraid. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Last Sunday, our Lord lay on the ground, the root word for humility. He lay there in the lowliness of his human flesh, humbled by the weakness that followed 40 days of fasting, and tempted terribly by Satan. This Sunday, the Transfiguration, we see our Lord lifted above the ground in the glory of his Godhead. And we, it's our turn now, fall flat on our face before him. And we are filled with fear. This Sunday, we must take that posture if ever we are to walk worthy, as St. Paul tells us in the epistle today, so as to be pleasing to God. If only we knew enough to get on the ground and stay there. Get down! Get down! That's what police say when they're arresting some particular kinds of criminals. Stay there on the ground. Don't move. However, are we to be captured? We, with all of the crimes of our sins still in our soul, however, will we be captured by Christ and saved? Unless we too get down and stay there. There could be no better posture for us than that we should lay low this Lent and all of our life. Humility. Many a modernist or a naturalist would dismiss it as a quaint, old-fashioned virtue. The modernists, the naturalists, the Americanists would say that it's negative theology, a passive virtue, although Pope Leo XIII teaches that you couldn't call any virtue passive. It takes a lot of energy to realize the truth of your position and to get down from the heights of pride, to stay humble. To be humble is simply to cooperate with that interior light which makes us know that by ourselves we are incapable of doing any good for God or man. And what is good is done by God's grace. What is evil that we could claim for ourselves? The imitation of our Lord does demand a lot of energy to respond to his grace. But there are many today who would simply see that as part of a system of old-fashioned abasement or superstition, you know, all the bowing and scraping. One of the founding fathers, after whom they've named Mount Adams, John Adams, once visited a Catholic church for, I think it was Vespers and Rosary and Sermon, benediction, on a Sunday afternoon, and he wrote to his wife Abigail about it. He said, it was the most awful and affecting service. He said, these poor wretches fingering their beads and chanting in Latin and bowing and kneeling and genuflecting, crossing themselves. But he admitted there was a certain pull in our worship. Here is everything that can lay hold of the eye, the ear, the imagination, everything which can charm and bewitch the simple and the innocent. It seems that the virtue of humility is out of date in an age of equality, doesn't it? And after all, our country's mission is to spread a universal democracy. What are we to make of a humble virtue that makes us get down and stay there? But what could we say of the saints? What do you suppose they would say of the saints? Like Saint Hedwig, the middle saint on that side, the epistle side. Remember how Saint Hedwig would assist at Mass on her knees from before dawn until the last Mass was offered around noon every day in the convent church. And she never moved. I thought of St. Hedwig. I was kneeling with the kindergartners up front the other day at Mass because I was going to show the older children how to do the special kneelings during Lent. And I had a little kunkel next to me. I didn't know which kunkel it was, one of the minor kunkels. And he was like a little angel. He never moved once during the whole Mass. And that's how you and I ought to be. But what would people say if they realized that St. Hedwig, and on the other side St. Louis, King of France, royalty, would serve the sick and the poor and would serve them on their knees? But they couldn't help themselves because, as the disciples in the Gospel today, they saw no one but only Jesus. And so whether we are assisting at Mass before the Blessed Sacrament or doing these works of mercy with our neighbor, we are meant to be seeing our Lord, and that demands a position of reverence all day long. Get down. That's the best way to stay a Christian and to walk worthy. Last Sunday, we considered what kind of Catholics we were. And I think we agreed that we weren't much in the way of being Catholics. What about the other term that is sometimes used synonymously with Catholic? What kind of Christians do you suppose you and I make here in this church in particular? The definition of a Christian is of or pertaining to the teaching of Jesus Christ. So, really, you couldn't be a Christian if you don't follow his true teaching. Therefore, those who are in heresy or in schism are not really Christians. And so one could use the terms interchangeably Christian or Catholic or traditional Catholic. Of course, there is another meaning of the word. To be a Christian is in some sense to claim Christ, to claim to believe in him, as opposed to being a Jew or a Muslim or a pagan, say. But the danger with this second definition is that it comes awfully close to the ecumenical idea today of an original, generic Christianity before it was divided into sects and different religions. Now, that's a heresy. That's the specialty of Ratzinger and the gang that hijacked the Catholic Church. The two terms, Catholic, Christian, really are interchangeable. Because how could you be said to follow our Lord if you are not following his teachings, if you are actually distorting Christ's truth? This thought alone should be enough to make us fall on our face and fear. We little lot who are left, why, look at us. There is very little which is genuinely Christian about us. Because another meaning of the term Christian is to exhibit the spirit which is proper to a follower of Christ. That is to say, charity, charity. Are we charitable in that for a supernatural motive, the love of God and the love of all men? Well, you be the judge for a change now. Just judge yourself, and not softly either. If you only love your friends, and that part-time, if you hold a grudge readily and let go of it with difficulty, if you speak unkindly and judge harshly in your criticism, if you entertain lasting prejudices against your fellow Catholics, how may you be said to be a follower of God's Son? To be a Christian, your charity must be Catholic, small c, universal, all-embracing, Everyone was created by God, is intended by God to share his life for all eternity, and towards that end has been redeemed with the precious blood of our Savior. Everyone. So if you favor anyone, it should be the foe, your enemy, someone who's done something to offend you. He should be your pet. It should be towards her that you do your favors and send your smiles, as a little flower did, and of all the saints. How on earth, humility, how on earth are we going to love our enemies, I mean the great enemies of the church today, if we can't stand our friends, our own fellow Catholics? If we hold ourselves aloof, and if we are cold and unkind, and if we refuse to cooperate with them for the common good. There is a wonderful little aspiration taken from the 118th Psalm, which is, along these lines, a terrific assistance to help us to behave ourselves. Confige timore tuo carnes meas. Pierce my flesh with thy fear. The 120th verse of this psalm. In other words, I see God in this church at Mass. I see the image of God, doubly, triply, quadruply so, for all different titles, in my neighbor. How couldn't I be filled with fear and with reverence and with a holy love? How couldn't I prostrate myself like a priest on his ordination day? Or as the Polish Catholics used to do at 40 hours before the Blessed Sacrament in the monstrance. Because I, like the disciples at Thabor, I am seeing God. They fell flat on their face and they feared. And when you're in that position, I don't suppose you're worrying about anyone else. Christians, think of it. We are all God has left. May God help us. Now, he could raise up disciples from the very stones, but at the moment, there's little groups like these throughout the whole world and smaller. But still, God speaks, and he is heard through his church, and still God shows himself, the consecration of every Mass, the Blessed Sacrament, but also in my neighbor and also in the least of my brethren. Let us just regain a little bit of that reverence. May it pierce our flesh, that fear of the Lord, and surely we'll stay close to the ground. And there, down on our face, if we fall the right way, we won't be falling into sin, not nearly so often. We'll be able to get up, and we will be able to walk worthy of being named a Christian. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.